Well, good morning and grace and peace to you. Today is a great day. This is the last week of our sermon series, The Biography. So, or maybe you're sad, or maybe you're just really happy because you're done hearing that sermon bumper video over and over and over again. And so it's just been just amazing to be able to walk through the Bible from all the way from the prologue, the very beginning, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then even take it a little bit further as we talk about the church and how the church started to grow and how it started to move, and yet how it still moves today. So excited to be able to do that, to close that up, but also excited what is going to happen next week because we start a new sermon series called Parables, An Invitation into the Kingdom. And so, yes, we will be here each and every Sunday during the summertime. Some of you have already asked me that, like, well, you guys are at FGC, are you still going to be here? Absolutely. We are a church, a community church that is comprised of many different types of people, and so we're going to be here each and every Sunday. So if you're a student and you are taking those forbidden summer classes, please come along. And again, if you're part of the community and wanting to be more on mission with us, we're excited to walk through our new sermon series as Jesus, the great storyteller, shares us more and more what it's like to be a part of the kingdom. So excited about that. Hey, if you are a college student, this week's a big week for you, am I right? It's finals week, all right? And maybe that is a stressful week for you, but we just want to let you know that actually tomorrow from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., Thrive is going to be outside the library, and we are going to be serving coffee, bagels, cream cheese, because we know that you're stressed and you need to eat lots of food and drink lots of caffeine. So if you're at the library and you just need a break, just tell your friends that we're going to be out there. We're going to be serving so many students. Usually we have about 600 students that come through the lines and are very thankful for all the bagels and cream cheese. So we're excited about that. If you'd like to help serve with us, if you're a non-student, we would love to have you there. We're going to be out there from 8:30 to 11. I know that's a late one, but hey, it's all fun. So we're going to be doing that as for tomorrow, and really excited for that to happen. So before we plug into Scripture, let's pray. Father, we had an opportunity to read from the book of Acts and see the church that started with such a small amount of people explode into so many people that continued to worship and followed you. And so today, as we look at the church and see what the church did, we also see what the church is doing today. So Lord, may we be like the church that the Holy Spirit has planted here at this place, just like it was in the book of Acts. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So oftentimes when I think of church, sometimes I honestly get frustrated. Has anyone ever been like jaded from church before? Like, oh man, like just I'm sick of it. I'm done. Or maybe the pastor just had an awful message and like, I just never want to hear that guy again. Hopefully you don't feel that after today. Or maybe just like, I just don't really like the music. You know, it's kind of not my style, you know, don't like that. Or maybe you just feel like something like bruised you completely. Someone talked behind your back or whatever it may be. And you're just like, I'm just done with this church thing. I love God, but I just don't like the church. If that's happened to you, and certainly there's been times in my life where it's happened to me, I have to remind myself to open up my Bible and especially look in the book of Acts, because that's where we see the church in its purest form, the church becoming something so much more. And so in this book, we have a man named Luke, and he is writing to a man named Theophilus, all right? We don't really know who Theophilus is. We think he's probably a ruler or a higher power, and it's kind of like a code name because the gospel was just getting out, and he probably didn't want his name to be mentioned because he'd be persecuted or maybe even put to death for believing in such things like Jesus Christ. And so Luke is writing to Theophilus, and when he's sharing these words with Theophilus, he's saying, these men and women that I write to you about, they're ordinary people doing some extraordinary things. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Some of the extraordinary things they're doing is sharing the gospel, and people are believing in this good news about Jesus Christ, that he really did die, and then he rose on the third day. They're also going around healing people, and that is crazy. These ordinary people doing some extraordinary stuff, and see, all because of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't these men and women doing these things. It was because the Holy Spirit was working in them. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus says to his followers, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the very ends of the earth. And that includes Judea and Samaria. And if you don't know anything about Samaria, that is the ends of the earth. You don't talk to those kinds of people. And so what's really radical about all of this is that the gospel is for everyone. It's not just for the Jews. It's not just for the privileged. It's for the broken, for the poor, the people that need mercy. That is what the gospel is all about. And how it's going to be spread is only by the Holy Spirit. So Luke shares all these stories with Theophilus. He shares what the church is going to look like. And what we need to know, at one point, it started with 120 passionate followers from the very beginning. And it was estimated just a couple centuries after that, that more than 20 million people confessed, professed that Jesus Christ is Lord. The gospel became very contagious. But see, how did that happen? The Holy Spirit. How do we get there? Through discipleship. Now, the definition of a disciple is following Jesus in every area in your life. But in order to be discipled, I'm very convinced that discipleship and the local church need to be connected, all right? And what I mean by that, if you want to grow in your faith, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, doing exactly what it is to be following Jesus in your everyday life, you need to be connected to the church. So it's not necessarily going to church, but being the church. And you're probably like, great, that's awesome, because like, you may be one of those people saying, well, I don't have to go to church each and every week. I can still believe in Jesus. But I'm going to push you a little bit farther. Being the church is always being connected with the body of Christ. So it is important why we worship, why we gather, why we share stories, why we are on mission with one another, why we support one another. Like this right here is something special. And so in order to be discipled, we need to be connected to the church. And so, and being connected to the church is all about the Holy Spirit really moving in this place. Without the Holy Spirit, we try to take control of things. And guess what? I'm one of those people right there. Can I just repent of that? Because I've always had these ideas of what church is going to look like. You know, I'm a church planner here at Thrive, and so like I'm always putting out all the details of what we need to do to in order to grow this place, how many flyers we need to pass out to make sure that the music's good enough. Yet, Ben, you're doing a really good job. You know, all these different kinds of things. Like I'm so ingrained with the details. But when I read this scripture right here, I'm convicted and I need to repent of it, because usually what is happening, it's because of my ways and I'm not letting the Holy Spirit move. And that's been a problem throughout the centuries. But again, if we turn to Acts chapter 2, we see the church in the very purest form. We see the fellowship of believers gathering together. It says in verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, the fellowship of the breaking of the bread, the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed together had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions, giving away all their money, and distributed them to the poor and those who had been in need, and day by day attending the temple. And what we find out about this is the Lord added to their number. So yes, we need to be a church that is led by the Holy Spirit, where it's not us controlling, but letting our God take control of this church. So it's really convicting and really challenging. So there's many different types of churches. And I figured let's talk about these things. Maybe you can relate to some of these churches that you've been to before, or maybe you feel that it's this way at Thrive. And I'm just saying, we're not a perfect church, all right? But we're striving to be people that are gospel-centered, that are following the scriptures daily, okay? But there's many different churches out there, okay? And maybe you can relate to some of these churches, or maybe you can't, because this is the first time you've ever come to church, and that's awesome. But we just want to share some of these things with you. So first of all, there's the teaching church, okay? The teaching church, they love the Bible, all right? They pick it up and they just want to read it and everything. And but there's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's a good thing, right? So they love the Bible, they read the Bible, and that's just something that's so important to them. And because of that, they have like a stronger emphasis because they're teaching the Because they're teaching the Bible, they want to be able to teach it properly. So there's the right systematics, the right order. So like, so that way, if they're communicating to other people, they're saying it in the purest form. So usually they'll have like pastors that have advanced degrees, that have gone to seminaries or have their doctrines, you know. Teaching churches really value something like that. But here's the problem. It's because if you're, some of the weaknesses of a teaching church is you'll walk in there and you, like, if you're new and everything, they're really bad at talking to people. You know, they'd rather be reading books the whole time than actually having a conversation and saying, hey, how you're doing? You know, they would say, like, yeah, I've read all the latest books by Francis Chan and David Platt and all those guys, but they don't know how to build community. And so it's like a struggle for them, and it's hard for them. Usually, a lot of bloggers come from these churches, you know. They're always complaining. They're all about the teachings and everything, and, you know, they're not going to really communicate to people. They'll put all their feelings on a website and tell you how they feel, all right? That's the teaching church. There's the devotion church. They're centered, and they're celebrating worship and being in God's presence. Their worship services are really long. I just went to Haiti recently, all right? And the people that went to Haiti with me, they know what I'm about to talk about. We were in worship. Said, hey, how long is it going to be? Oh, you know, just like an hour, hour and a half. We were there for 3 hours, okay? I mean, there was one point I was like, man, like there's this new preacher dude up there, and you can tell like he finally had his moment to be able to speak in front of everyone. You know, the Americans were here and the church was full. So he just kept praying and praying and just wouldn't stop, all right? But you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. He was led by the Spirit, okay? There was something special going on in that very moment. And, you know, sure, it may be long, but they're devoted to worshiping God. They see the value in that. They're really good prayers. They pray for people to be healed, that God's going to change things. And you know what? That's not a bad thing either, right? Like, that's actually a good thing that they're doing these things. So they celebrate. They worship the Lord. And that's just good. But see, here's the weakness of a devotional type of church. Usually they're going to rather seek experiences instead of just really trusting in what God is doing in his word. So for instance, what I mean by that is they would primarily like listen to a prophetic voice. If someone says something, they say, oh, this is where it's going, rather than usually what they do is, you know, look at the scripture and say that's the authoritative nature of what God's truly saying. So, you know, it's you got to have a balance of both, all right? Don't get me wrong. You know, God speaks through people, but he also speaks through the word. And usually the devotional type of church, they talk in experiences most parts, okay? There's the formal church, okay? These are traditional folks, all right? They like the sacraments. They like traditions, okay? They're not about the fads. Like, I was just at a church this weekend. They were like, hey, Phil, we want to put screens up in our church. And I was like, okay. It took them about like 6 months to come to that decision, all right? So the traditional churches, they don't like doing new things or changing things. You know, they're very formal. They love liturgy. They love order. I mean, have you been to one of those churches before? You know, it's just like, you know, you stand up, you sit down. There's all these different things. And, you know, it's still good. Let me tell you, like, God is still in that place and God speaks through his word. I mean, that was a church that I was a part of for a very long time. And so, but the thing about them, and here's some of their weaknesses. They're actually also, I forgot to mention this too, they're very measured and very thoughtful, but their weakness is they're very, like, they're not emotional whatsoever. And so it's interesting when you go into churches like this, they don't really like to express themselves. They don't really like to raise their hands. That's weird, you know? They won't do that kind of stuff. But here's my problem with that. When they die and they go to heaven, like, are they going to be smiling or something like that? Or, like, if you're in heaven, I'm dancing, you know? Like, I'm not just, like, sitting around and just be like, made it, you know? That's not how it works, okay? And but that's just, that's kind of what the formal church looks like. Here's the other problem. They're very white. There's no diversity. That's a problem, too. You know, I love what John said to me at one point. John is one of our teaching pastors here at Thrive. And he said, I know that I'm in the right place if I walk into a place of worship and all the people there look like they don't belong together. They wouldn't hang out together. That's the church I want to be at. And that's the church that we strive to be too. And so usually the formal churches, they're very white. That's a problem. There's the community church, okay? The community church is so relationally driven, All right? It's actually the most popular church in North America. And usually the average attendance for these community churches is about 75 people. And the other thing about the community church is they usually don't have a pastor. They don't have like a lead. And so it's like 75 people, you know, gathering together. And what's really cool about that is like if someone is going through like a crisis, like a medical crisis, they all kind of like gather in together and like help each other out. It's beautiful. And they really believe in that. And so there's a lot of community in that. They love, they care for one another. But yet there are some weaknesses with that type of church as well. And the community church, if you were like to make a decision, like if you have orange carpet in your sanctuary for such a long time, and everyone's like, all right, we need to get rid of it. And there's like that one person that says, no, I like it. You know, it's my style. You know, it takes them a lot longer to make decisions because there's no leadership. They're all kind of in it together. So sometimes those are some of the weaknesses right there too. The other thing too, for non-Christians, it's really hard for them to get into these types of churches because they feel kind of clicky. You know, you had to know them for such a long time. And so that's why they don't grow, okay? And so like community churches, they're good, but yet there's some of their weaknesses. Then there's the welcoming church. They're the seeker churches. You know, they're doing awesome things. You know, they're creating messages that are super relatable for non-Christians to come in so that they understand the gospel. They like leave the church actually and spread the gospel in their neighborhoods and all over the place. And like they believe in that because that's the gospel should be carried out, and that's good. But yet there's still some weaknesses with the seeker churches. Usually it's kind of like one of these mile wide and inch deep. You know, their conversations are not in depth. Or they're the kind of churches, and you can go on like some of the church websites that like are all topical sermon series, meaning like, hey, like how can I have a better marriage? Or, you know, how can I fix my finances? Or, you know, what is it like to be a good student? Like these are the churches that can be helpful, but it's usually just filled with lots of good advice, all right? And so sometimes those types of churches have their weaknesses as well. And then we have the social justice church. Hey, they're the churches that like want all racial reconciliation. They want to go into the poorest of poors, into the least of these, and to be able to serve and love people, to share the gospel at all times. So they're not really concerned about what they look like. If, you know, their buildings aren't, you know, really good looking, you know, they're not concerned about who's in their church, meaning like if you're like a really rich person and you donate a lot of money to the church, like they're not concerned about that. They're just concerned about just like going out into the community and serving people. And that's something that's so beautiful. But here's the thing, what's like very troublesome sometimes for some of these social justice churches, because they'll turn some things saying, if you don't do these things, like you question, I'm going to have to question your faith, meaning like if you're not going out and serving, you're not really a true follower of Christ, or maybe you're not really going to receive salvation. And we know that is super countered against the gospel, because in order for us to understand the gospel, we repent and believe. We understand that Jesus died for us. Jesus resurrected for us. And sometimes their theology gets a little bit twisted. So I presented to you all these different types of churches. And again, not to say that we are a church that is just totally, like there's some things I know that we need to work on, okay? And that's the challenge of us as the church, trying to figure out what it means to be the church, just like the Church of Acts, where they were teaching and where they were of devotion. But what kind of church do you think we should be? Any ideas? All of them. All of them. Absolutely. Because if we look at the scriptures, if we look at Acts chapter 2, we see that they were devoted to teaching, that they were devoted to the fellowship, to devotion. You know, there was some formal orders that were going on. They were saying prayers. They were breaking bread with one another. That is something that's very orderly. You know, they were in community with one another. They loved one another. You know, they also included people into this thing. They wanted people to know about Jesus and said, if you want to be a Christ follower, come on in with us. It was super welcoming. And yet they also shared the gospel at all times. And also they were selling all of their possessions. You know what they said? My money is not my money. It's God's money. I'm just giving it back to other people. So if we are going to be a church,
we need to strive to be a church like Acts chapter 2, verse 42, to be a church that's of teaching, of devotion, that's formal, that's of community, that's welcoming, and that believes that there are some injustices in the world that need to be eradicated. That's the church, what I want to be like. That's the church that's not going to jade me away from believing in Jesus or whatnot. That's what it should be. I always have an opportunity to speak at a camp in North Carolina. So when it gets really hot here, I go up north into the mountains because it's a lot cooler, all right? And so I go there. It's been a blessing for my wife and I. And we get to speak at this camp, and it's a bunch of middle school students that are learning what it's like to wear deodorant for the first time. And bless their hearts, but we have a lot of fun, a lot of games. We were able to teach them. But what Kiri and I have really noticed throughout that time is there has been like this community of counselors and people in leadership that have really valued us and, you know, wanted to build more community with us. And we started to realize that we weren't just ministering to the middle school students, but we were ministering to counselors and people just like you and me. And so there was this one particular night when you know, all the campers went to bed, we would meet like in this log cabin. And at that time, it was like the best time of the night. We get to raid the refrigerator, all right? And if you don't know anything about North Carolina cooking, it is awesome. You know, all you can drink sweet tea, you know, fried chicken, pizza, like we would just take everything out of the refrigerator and just stuff our faces, okay? And so we would gather around with one another. But at this particular night, in this particular moment, there was just some conversations that were going on that were so much different than ever before. And, you know, people were expressing some brokenness that, you know, they've never talked about for their entire life. And then there was prayer, there was worship, there was all these things that we want the church to look like, and we were breaking bread with one another, even if it was fried chicken, passing along around the circle, sharing the peace of God with one another. And it was like I sat back, and you know those moments where you just get all the chills running from head to toe, and I was looking at the scriptures. I said, this is church. This is the fellowship of the believers that are breaking bread with one another, that are praying with each other. And you know what? Some of the craziest things happened that week at this particular camp. Stories of just students just coming to Christ, stories of students where parents were extremely sick, it was cancer and everything, and we were just praying over these individuals, and we just saw God work in such a mighty way. But yet, I was reminded at that very moment, that was Holy Spirit driven. It's not what I intended it to look like, all right? Because my idea of church for the longest time looked completely different. It was almost as if the Holy Spirit was speaking to me at that very moment, says, look, Phil, this is your church. These are the fellowship of the believers gathering together. And so I get it. Sometimes when we come to church, it feels more of the organized rather than the organic. And we need to like really watch ourselves at what that looks like. Because if we want to be the fellowship of the believers, there's more to just worshiping and listening to someone speak. It's also about the fellowship with one another, about praying with one another, about gathering people's homes, you know, sharing the fried chicken, whatever that may look like. That is the church. And so again, you may be kind of frustrated with me too when I shared that list with you, and you're just like, well, you know, we need to hit a target audience. You know, we need to have a business plan, because like if we're really doing a good job with teaching and welcoming, there's gonna be so many people that are being here. And you know what? We can do so much strategy and so much planning, but if we really want this to happen, you have to let the Spirit just flow in this place. I'm convicted of that more and more even today. So what does that look like? And that's the challenge for all of us. Are you just here just to gather? Or do you want to join us on something that is like special? Something that where the Holy Spirit is working through this place where you can't even explain it. You can't even tell me why we're doing this thing, all of a sudden we just realize that there's something special, something supernatural going on in this place in this very time. That's the church that I want to be a part of. Let's pray.